Hello, welcome to this special bowl edition of the Bearcats Blogcast. My name is Scott, joined by Chris Baines. How's it going, Chris?
I'm great, Scott. We will be talking about the Military Bowl against everyone's favorite non-conference opponent, the Virginia Tech Hokies, who UC's played 50 of the last 50 years, 56 years it seems, and they'll be heading to the Military Bowl, Annapolis technically. I think this is actually a stat and not just an overblown thing. That I think that it's three of the last 4 years they'll be heading to Annapolis, something like that. Scott, quick thoughts on Virginia Tech in this bowl game?
I think it's a solid bowl game. Not, my opinion really hasn't changed too much since our initial reaction. It's just like, it's like Virginia Tech. I don't know. It's been hard to get excited about this game, for sure. Because Virginia Tech, like, on paper, just, like, even when, like, they're really good, not, like, the opponent that, like, really jumps out at you. But then, like, the fact they won 6-6 also doesn't really stand out to you at all either. Especially when they needed to play, like, a December game to get bowl eligible. What about you?
Yeah, they... It's not a super. I look at this two ways. I mean, on the one hand, it is a Power Five opponent. It is a name program that UC is facing. I mean, Virginia Tech is, in terms of like name recognition, probably like a top 25 program. They're not playing a Group of Five team. They're not playing Louisiana like what Tulane did. They're not playing Marshall like South Florida did. On the other hand, it is, to your point, a 6-6 team that really limped into the bowl season. They lost four of the last six. Their schedule went like this. They beat a very overrated Florida State team 24-3 to open up the season. They beat William & Mary, an FCS team, 62-17. I think at that point they were ranked. Not William & Mary, Virginia Tech. Yeah, East Carolina,
that
go ahead.
Florida State game was on Labor Day, too. And like they kicked their ass.
Yeah,
so like they got the early season like boost in the top 25.
Right. Yeah, Virginia Tech was a top 12 team when they beat William & Mary. Then a hurricane washed out the East Carolina game. Then things started to really go pear-shaped for Justin Fuente's team. They lost to Old Dominion 49-35. They did rebound against Duke, beating them 31-14. Got blasted by Notre Dame 45-23. North Carolina, they beat barely 22-19, and then they lost their next four, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Pittsburgh, Miami, and then really they were clawing or they were clinging to a bowl berth by beating Virginia Tech 34-31 in overtime, and then finishing out the year by beating Marshall 41-20 to go 6-6. Not what they drew up in Justin Fuente's, I think, second or third year.
Yeah, especially after the big win against Florida State. It's like, before we knew Florida State was trash. Like, winning that game, like, on the road, like, so impressively. Like, really, like, maybe they'll compete with Clemson. And then, like, week four rolls around when they play Old Dominion and get upset. I didn't even think we talked about that game. So it was such a gigantic upset. And Virginia Tech just got like kind of like hammered in that game too. Like as you mentioned, once it started going downhill, it really went downhill. Like Notre Dame blew them out like a primetime game. Georgia Tech like ran all over them. Boston College beat them by 10. Pittsburgh like routed them. Like their Pittsburgh ran for like 400 yards or something crazy in that game. Like Miami blew them out. And they really needed to rally to beat Virginia. And it was one of the highlight games of rivalry weekend. And really up and down year. It makes them a really tough opponent to get a real grasp on. Because like if you just compare their schedule to UC's, like obviously like UC didn't beat a team as good as like Virginia. Which I think is fair to say. But like looking at the S&P rankings, UC's best win was Ohio, who was finished number 45. And Virginia is finished number 40, or is that 42 right now? So, like, I guess you could say, like, about the on the same level. But then Virginia Tech's, like, the rest of their wins would be a little bit higher. But they weren't consistent all year. And Cincinnati was, like, finishing 10-2. You have to be consistent to finish 10-2. And the lows for Virginia Tech were very low, while their highs were maybe a little bit higher than UC's highs. It's like a really, really tough team to get a true grasp on, because they were just so up and down, like wildly inconsistent. And how can you really get a read on somebody who can beat like a solid team like Marshall by 20 points and lose like a crap team like Georgia Tech by 20 points?
Yeah, they were all over the board this year, and really what it kind of came down to was the fact that they're just an objectively mediocre team. You know, 6-6, I mean, exactly 500. They're 69th in S&P Plus. Their strength of the team is the offense. They're 45th in S&P Plus offense. The defense is horrible, just terrible. 79th in S&P Plus defense. And really, the biggest thing for them is that they lost four defensive players of the NFL last year. They lost the Tremaine and Terrell Edmonds. They're not very good in rushing defense, 105th, which is, you know, thumbs up for UC. 65th in passing defense, 85th in scoring, 99th in total defense. They're 77th in sacks. They're, 110th in interceptions. I mean, that's a big part of them losing the Edmond brothers. They don't get a lot of takeaways. They're okay in turnover margin. They're just like an okay football team. And, you know, if their defense had sustained that turnover in the offseason just a little bit better, this is probably like an 8 or 9 win Virginia Tech team. But like they got, like to your point earlier, they got blown out by Old Dominion, gave it 49 points to Old Dominion. They gave it 45 to Notre Dame, 49 to a Georgia Tech team, which I don't even know that was possible outside of Louisville. Gave it 31 to Boston College, 52 to Pittsburgh. You mentioned, you know, 300 yards on the ground, 38 to Miami. Like, it just, the defense is just collapsed underneath itself game after game after game for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, like, the run defense especially, like, it can't help but stand out. Like, it really, bottom run defense. And on top of that, they gave up a ton of huge plays on the ground. And they also gave up a ton of huge plays in the air because, like, why not do both? Like, they were very generous with their big playability, which probably wasn't good for their fans, but it was good for their opponents.
I mean, at least they didn't face Clemson this year. I mean, that was probably the biggest standout on the resume. If they had faced Clemson, I mean, Clemson scores about 80 by halftime.
Yeah, Clemson would have run all over them, just like Georgia Tech and Boston College and Pittsburgh did. So like that's, yeah, like right away, that's one area where you think the Bearcats really should be able to like focus in on and get to work with. Like the Bearcats' run attack has been really solid all season long. Like 62 in the rushing S&P. And the Bearcats have been able to crack some huge runs with Mike Warren and even like Ritter. So like that's obviously key number one, I think, is busting big plays on the ground. Because like Virginia Tech is one of those teams you can take advantage of. Like then on the flip side, it's like you can do that in the passing game as well. So it'd be interesting to see if you can like link some of these together where like Ritter ends up going deep to like Khalil Lewis and like Medeiros and hitting some of these huge pass plays that we've seen UC is very capable of like pulling off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you flip it over to the offensive side of the ball, like the strength of the Virginia Tech team is clearly the offense, probably just out of the fact that defense is just so horrible. So, you know, respectively, it just has to be better. They're 44th in total offense, 59th in scoring offense, 40th in passing. They have a pretty good quarterback. Ryan Willis has actually had a pretty good season, 2,500 yards through the air, 58% completion percentage, a 22-8 touchdown to interception ratio. You know, and he's a pretty solid Virginia Tech quarterback. They do really well in the red zone. They're seventh in the nation in red zone conversion, something like 91% of their red zone trips end in points, which is, you know, for a team like Cincinnati that tends to keep teams out of the red zone in general, that's definitely a key to think about in this game. But they are terrible on third down. They are 90th in the country in third down conversions, which is another, you know, check in UC's box, being, I think you see something like fourth in the country in third down conversions allowed, which is just outstanding. So it's, there's a lot of areas on this, in this game that really points into UC's favor. And you mentioned it earlier, the rushing attack that UC has going up against the 105th best, you know, rushing defense in Virginia Tech. Then it's the red zone defense that UC offers, as well as the third down conversion defense that UC offers. It's a lot of things are pointing toward UC's favor in this game.
Yeah, the red zone is really another interesting one because Virginia Tech, like as you mentioned, like if they can get there, they've been finishing drives, but they've also been really bad if like you get in the red zone on them. Although they have forced a couple of turnovers deep in the red zone, but they've been just really horrific in getting stops. Even, like, their third down defense has been really good for the most part, especially, like, a third and short. Like, they rank really well. Except third and medium, they rank 129, which is kind of, like, unbelievably, like, a really weird outlier there. Like, this is a team, like, you just have to try to force them into to field goals. And then when you get deep, I think you have to be just really aggressive and try to score no matter what. Like, try to score touchdowns on them no matter what.
Yeah, because their field goal kicker is not that great. I think he's something like 11 of 16. Now, you know, Cole Smith has had his issues this year, but, I mean, 11 of 16 from your field goal kicker, it objectively not that great either. So, I mean, if you can score just 3 points within the red zone, you should be at parity with what Virginia Tech's going to do with you, do to you on the opposite end if they do happen to get into your red zone. It should be a very... I don't want to say that it's going to be, like, high scoring. I mean, the over-under in this game is, like, 53 points. UC is about a 6-point favorite, give or take a half a point, which suggests something like a 30-23 UC win. But I don't know if it's going to be, like, super pointsy. Like, I think this could be fairly close at halftime, like, you know, 17-14.
Yeah, I think the spread in this one is kind of, like, right on... Like, what type of game it's going to be. I think it's going to be, like, a medium-scoring type of contest. Because it's just going to really depend on if Cincinnati can hit their big plays. Because Virginia Tech's special teams, like, are like, decent outside of their kicking game. Cincinnati's special teams are, like, pretty decent outside of their kicking game. It's, like, really, like, no huge advantages there. It's just really going to come down to... if the Bearcats can hit big plays, like on the ground and in the air. As you know, Virginia Tech, as you mentioned, like Ryan Wills has had a really good season. Like he's throwing, 13 yards completion. He doesn't really get sacked a ton. It's like a pretty solid offense who's not going to make like a ton of mistakes. So you just have to keep them off the field, which hasn't really been a huge problem for some of Virginia's opponents. But, or Virginia Tech's opponents. But, like, on the other side, we've seen them, like, bottle up a pretty good Marshall offense. And they did, like, a decent job against a solid Virginia team. But, I think the Bearcats have a clear advantage here. Like, S&P has them as 7-point favorites. And they're 5.5 points favorite in Vegas. And I think both of those seem right. Like it's much easier to bank on the team that was consistent the entire season instead of the one that was really volatile. And like that's one thing that the Bearcats were all season long is consistent. Like you know the defense is going to play.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like if you're looking at both teams through a complete outside lens without really knowing what's without really knowing the history of both or what teams have done this season. I mean, I think the 10 wins stands out and the fact that you know, to your point, they were very UC was very consistent throughout the year. They were able to play to their strengths very well against opponents that really weren't able to stop those strengths. And you're going into a matchup where UC should have a huge advantage in the rushing attack offensively. They should have a big advantage in terms of defense of getting Virginia Tech off the field and putting the ball back into that rushing attack, which, you know, leads to the fact that, you know, they are about a touchdown favorite, and that sounds about right. Like, if I was going to predict this game, I would say something like, yeah, 30 to 23 probably looks good. Like, I would, if I was going to put money on the game, that's probably about the score that I would give.
I'd say something probably more traditional sounding for UC, because they haven't really gone off the weird score train too much this season. I'd say something like 27 to 20-ish.
Yeah.
That type of deal. Which would hit the under. Maybe it'd go a little bit higher. Maybe like a 31 to 24. Something like that. It's been interesting just to see how these teams have like almost flipped. Like by S&P. I know S&P is a predictor and not like the real like go-to stat. But UC started the season in the 80s. After week one, they were 71st, and they finished 32. Virginia Tech started 34 after week one and finished 69. It's like the teams just like flipped positions, which was probably not the best turn of phrase after they finished 69, but you guys get it.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at what Virginia Tech brings in terms of, like, personnel, I mean, there's not really any standout players, right? Like, you look at Michael Warren. If you're Virginia Tech, you got to stop Michael Warren first. If he goes over 100 yards against Virginia Tech, UC's probably going to win that game. But for UC, I mean, they got a pair of running backs that pretty much split carries. Stephen Peoples, 760 yards this season, 5.1 a pop. He's like a Frank Gore type of build, you know, 5'9", 222. Deshaun McLeese, 331 on the ground, about 4 yards a pop. He's kind of like the change of pace back, 5'9", 197. I mean, neither of those numbers really stand out of the board. I mean, from a wide receiver standpoint, Damon Hazleton, maybe a relation to Vidal Hazleton. I don't know. I didn't really research that. But, you know, 745 yards, 8 touchdowns. Eric Kuma, 514 and 6 touchdowns. Both basically the same exact kind of build. Ryan Willis distributes the ball pretty evenly. He doesn't have a favorite receiver. Yeah, it doesn't, you know, there's not really like a whole lot of like outright playmakers that you have to stop Virginia Tech in terms of offense. Like it's, they're kind of mediocre offensively, because they kind of are. They kind of don't really have like that explosiveness. They don't have that giant playmaker ability that you tend to see out of like some P5 teams. And I think that kind of plays into UC's favor, because defensively they don't have a whole, like, UC doesn't have, I mean, they have Cortez Broughton in terms of like flashiness, but there isn't really one defender UC has on that field that Virginia Tech can pretty much key in on and say, hey, if we focus this guy, we double team Cortez Broughton, you know, we can have success offensively. Well, yeah, you do that, and you have Copeland, you know, one-on-one, and you have Fitz one-on-one. It doesn't really seem like, you know, the flashy playmaking ability of Virginia Tech's offense and lack thereof is really going to give UC that many fits. I really think it plays into UC's favor in terms of that, in that aspect.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, like 100%. It, like, Virginia Tech, especially in the run game, like, really not going to hit you for any big home runs. Like, they didn't do it really all season long. Like, Willis ended up being a pretty solid runner. Just, like, in his rushes, he had 471 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, second on the team. Like, 6 yards a carry. Like, obviously, like, this takes out sacks. So, like, he's like, going to be a little bit of a threat too, like somebody you have to watch. But if like he has a bad game, it's like their offense isn't going to do anything. Like, which, like, on the flip side, if Ritter has a bad game, like UC's offense can still thrive because they can run the ball. like with Michael Warren, who had like 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns. It's like, I think that's a huge difference in this game, is you can put everything on like Ryan Willis and make him try to beat you. And he might. He could do it. Like, he's a pretty solid quarterback. But, like, I would bank on the Bearcats defense trying to give him fits. Like, the biggest thing that I would worry about is, like, Virginia Tech hitting the deep pass. I guess, like, that's really the only explosiveness they have. And, like, Trey Turner has been, like, not really amazing this season. He's not averaging 20 yards a catch. He had 25 catches for nearly 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, that's, like, one guy that stands out for, like, their big play. Because he's, like, their only guy that gets down the field. Because you mentioned, like, Hazleton and Kuma. Like, they both get under 10 yards a target. Same with Grimsley. Like, he's at 7 yards a target. Like, they don't really go too deep. And they have one guy who stretches the field. It's, like, almost, kind of almost like the Bearcat receivers. Because Lewis is 9 yards a target. Degara is 8 yards a target. Then Medeiros is 10 yards. Like, and Medeiros is really the only guy that's going to take you deep.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's, yeah, I think that's kind of what's a little comforting about this game, is that there isn't really that one guy that would really concern me in either the passing or the running game. Like, I mean, you brought up a good point about Trey Turner, but he's only averaging like 2 catches a game, and you know, while those 2 catches are resulting in, you know, 45 yards a pop, it's not a situation where it's, I'm sorry, 20 yards a pop. Oh, I said 45. It's not a situation that like outright scares me, because if you do take him away, is there anyone else that's going to like really make up for that explosiveness? It doesn't seem like it statistically. And like, granted, I've only watched like a little bit of Virginia Tech this year, and it was against Florida State in week one, and that was a complete outlier of a football game. But yeah, it seems like just Virginia Tech is very well balanced, and they're facing a very well balanced, aggressive UC defense, which in my mind plays the UC strengths. Like, when they were playing Central Florida, I mean, the biggest issue in that game was the fact that Mackenzie Milton could do everything for that offense, and they had 2 big playmakers on the outside. Virginia Tech doesn't have the same kind of offense. Not nearly.
Yeah, especially on the ground, which I think it really is where this one's going to be won or lost. Taking an even deeper look at the receivers, like, they're about the same on each team. Like, Hazleton has, like, a little bit more ability to, like, break big gains. But, like, his numbers are pretty much what Khalil Lewis's numbers are. So you have a Khalil Lewis on the other side, and everybody else kind of matches up a little bit the same. Like, Virginia Tech threw the ball more. So, like, some of their guys have better numbers. But I think it really just comes down to if you can keep them in check offensively, which It's gonna be a definite struggle, because like Virginia Tech can put up points, and like they have put up points like their last few games, but they've also been like shut down by good defenses like Miami. So I don't know. Like one of the things that keeps throwing me off about this game is we've seen them be like so wild, and like these bowl games are really just like coin flips for the most part. You really don't know what's going to happen, and like one little thing is the game, like one turnover, and it's like, oh, the good effort, enjoy your bowl gift package.
And I kind of take a little bit of an opposite approach to it. Like, they, in terms of offense, Virginia Tech, that's definitely the strength of the team for a lot of reasons. But I think a lot of the reasons why the offense it seems so good is because, you know, compared to the defense, which is terrible, it just has to be better in terms of statistics. I mean, their biggest win this year in terms of offense was William & Mary, an FCS team where they put up 62. Their other wins, 24, 31, 22, 34, and 41. It's not like they were, like, lighting up the scoreboard. And like that 34 was an overtime win against Virginia. You know, so they needed the extra time to get those extra 3 points. That's where I'm not that concerned about this offense. Like, because they don't have an explosive playmaker, they don't have a very strong running game. I mean, the running game is fine. I don't really see how Virginia Tech scores more than 20 on this UC defense.
Well, if you're going to use that logic, couldn't you just flip it on the Bearcats as well? And be like, against the top 100 teams they played, they scored 26, 21, 30, 37, then 13.
Well, yeah, if you want to... Yeah, but like,
no, I mean, that would be like the part I would worry about is like the Bearcats offense wasn't great, and then it like kind of cratered when they played somebody who had a lot of talent. Like that'd be like my main like a little pushback to your point. Like I agree with you, like on Virginia Tech, but we have to be at odds. We have to go against each other on some points.
Yeah, you have to make it interesting. And, like, I would counter that by saying when UC's faced a defense, like, this defense, like, let's run through the numbers again. 99th in total defense, 85th in scoring, 65th in passing, 105th in rushing. When UC's faced this level of defense, the offense has had almost no problem moving the ball. Like, East, 56 points. USF, 35. Navy, 42. Tulane 37, UConn 49. Like they've been able to move the ball against bad defenses this year. It's when they've had to face average to above average defenses like a Temple or an SMU or a Central Florida where they've struggled. And that's why I feel like if we're looking at the strengths and weaknesses of this team, UC's had a pretty good track record against defenses as bad as Virginia Tech offers in this game.
Yeah, very fair point. And we saw, like, UC play. Like, obviously, Ohio is a little bit skewed because their offense ended up being currently top 10. But, like, their defense was 107. So, like, I just use them as, like, a little comparison against Virginia Tech. Like, I guess same type of team. Like, you know, I think we could end up getting, like, the same type of, like, up and down type of game. Although I think the Bearcats are going to get more stops than they did against Ohio. It seemed like against Ohio they got completely off guard at the beginning of that game.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest. We watched that video. I mean, the refs were helping the Ohio offense as much as Ohio's offense was helping themselves.
But then, like, to Ohio's credit, I guess, they did have a chance to win at the end, and they turned it over. Which was to UC's credit as well.
Yeah.
That's like, that ended up being...
So
like,
I don't know. I love this. Like, it was a good game. Go ahead.
I was just about to say, like, that ended up being really like the standout game of the season. It's like Ohio ended up actually being pretty good. And that game was just really a ton of fun. And we mentioned it a lot because like, it was really like the most memorable game they played until they played like Temple and like the rest of the teams on their schedule, like Central Florida. Yeah, so good job.
Yeah, and it produced like the best. Yeah, and it produced the best GIF moment of the entire season of Fickell mouthing "Holy shit!" after James Wiggins intercepted the ball at the end of the game. Which I mean, you could probably plaster that all like on this season, and that was summed up perfectly.
Yeah, definitely. So I don't think any game like summed up the season better than that one. Like the defense made plays, the offense was great. Like Fickell had like his like good coaching moments. He had his GIF moment. Really like a really standout game. Especially since their non-conference schedule is really trash. And they played UConn and Tulane after that too.
Right.
The early season was not really amazing football.
No, I mean, yeah, because you had UCLA, and then the monsoon, and then Alabama A&M, and then, yeah, it was a bunch of garbage, pretty much, until Temple.
Well, the UCLA game, I guess, was fun. Because nobody expected them to win at UCLA.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, we'll have to kind of we should probably save that for like the end of the season for wrapping up, you know, best game, worst game, that kind of stuff. But yeah, do you have anything else on the Military Bowl?
Outside of my general confusion about Virginia Tech, I really don't. It's like we've seen UC play like kind of almost like the reverse type of teams, like Temple, who is not really great on offense but really good at defense, and like Central Florida, is like really great on offense but their defense was also really good. So it's like we haven't really seen a team that's been like okay offense and really bad defense, which I guess is good in a sense. But it also makes Virginia Tech tough. It's like I wouldn't be surprised with any outcome in this one, although I do expect UC to win and like win by a touchdown. I think I'll stick with like 31-24.
Yeah, I'm pretty much going to go like right about that. Yeah, 30-23, 31-24. I think just by way of it being a bowl game and these coaching staffs not really being familiar with each other, I think, you know, it'll be close at halftime, like 17-14, 17-13, one way or the other. Yeah, I think it should be, I think about 7 points, yeah, 30-23 is probably about right. And, yeah, at the end of the day, I think it should be a pretty comfortable game. I think it should, I don't really see Virginia Tech have, I mean, unless UC turns the ball over 3 or 4 times, I don't really, maybe it's just outright UC fandom bias emerging. I don't know if Virginia Tech has that much of a chance in this game, you know, over the course of it.
I think that the main thing that gives them a chance is just that they're a Power 5 team. And, like, their roster is, like, more stacked, like, top through bottom. So, like, just, like, the inherent advantage that those teams have over, like, the group of five teams. Even, like, Cincinnati, well, it's, like, a pretty solid roster. But, like, the back of Virginia Tech's roster is like, a little bit better. Just because they're able to get, like, the more higher-profile recruits. Although, as you mentioned, they don't really have any pros, like, on their roster this year. It seems like to be the only guy I've really talked about is Ricky Walker, who had, like, 2.5 tackles for loss. Like, stopped the run game pretty well. Only 2 sacks. He's took a... it says he's a mid-round pick on this Athletic article that I'm scanning. Along with Broughton, the only 2 pros that it says they have in this game are defensive tackles. So if you like defensive tackle watching, this should be a good game for that. But like, even like defensively, nobody really stands out for Virginia Tech. Like, no, like they have 2 guys with 2 picks. Like, they're leading sack guys, 4.5 sacks. Like, really nothing flashy about this Virginia Tech team, which, like, seems to tilt in UC's favor. Because, like, they can take away what you do best. And you gotta think the Bearcats are pumped to get back to a bowl game. And, like, while Virginia Tech is probably happy, too. Like, this is, like, old hat for them. They're used to making bowls.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, unlike in the last 2 bowl games that UC went to under the previous regime, I 1,000% believe Fickell will have this UC team ready and raring to jump out of the gates against Virginia Tech. I don't know if Fuente will have his team as prepared mentally. And to your point, they always go to a bowl. I think they set a record this season with their 26th straight bowl game. They limped into bowl season with 2 close wins at the end of the season. They went 4-6 in the last 4 out of 6 out of the last 6. 4 losses out of their last 6 to end the year. I don't know how motivated they will be in this game. And all of that, again, puts another checkbox next to Cincinnati.
5-6 against FBS opponents as well, like with the William & Mary game mixed in there. Like, it's gonna be a fun game, I think. Because I think we're gonna see some off the wall stuff like you normally do in bowl games. Because teams like have nothing to do but practice like their weird gimmick plays. I think we'll see UC throw out some weird stuff. I think Virginia Tech will definitely do something weird offensively. But we'll see like a receiver or a running back throw a pass for both teams. That's my bold prediction.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good position to take. Who's it going to be?
I say Khalil Lewis. He's got to throw a pass. I don't know who he'll throw it to. Maybe they'll do a throwback play to Ritter. But Khalil Lewis is going to unleash his arm.
Yeah, I think that's a good prediction. Yeah, like Khalil Lewis, does Ritter on the catch that on the end? I'm going to say that. I'm going to steal that from you. I'm going to say he throws it to Des Ritter.
Yeah. How many fourth downs do you think UC will go for? I'll put the over-under on 1.5.
Yeah, I think so. The kicking game is so terrible, they don't even kick the ball outside the 20-yard line. Yeah, I think I'm going to say like 3. I think they go for it like for 3 fourth downs.
Ooh, that's a bold one, I think. 3 fourth downs. I'd go under, just because I think they'll kind of roll against
really?
Virginia Tech. Yeah, I think if they went for it, they'd just go for 1. I don't know, now I feel dumb picking for 1, but I had to be different. You have to have a winner in these imaginary contests.
Yeah, the imaginary contests that we're all going to forget about tomorrow.
What about field goals? You mentioned UC doesn't really like kicking field goals, and for good reason. So let's open this up to both teams. Will there be a missed kick in this game? It could be an extra point field goal. Will there be a missed kick?
Can we make it harder by saying which team is going to miss the kick first? There's definitely going to be a missed kick in this game, right?
I think so.
Let's look at this. You talk for a second. I'm going to look up the actual kicking stats of both teams.
I'll say yes, there will be a missed kick. But I'm going to go... Actually, I don't mean to rag on Cole Smith, but I think UC will have to kick like a 40-yarder in their first possession, and he'll miss it. And then he'll get a chance to redeem himself later in the game and make it.
Yeah, he's 5 of 12, and Virginia Tech's kicker Brian Johnson is 11 of 16. So it's really not a matter of if, it's more of a matter of when, right?
Yeah. It's really a matter of who has to kick a field goal first.
Yeah.
So I think Virginia Tech will miss one before the half.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. Because I think that makes sense.
I'm doubling down on my bold predictions. So Virginia Tech before the half will miss one field goal. Will we see a punt
return? Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Will we see a punt return in this game?
Not out of UC. I think Virginia Tech's, what, taken 2 to the house this year? I have to look it up.
No, they haven't taken any kicks back this year.
They haven't?
No.
They did. Oh, a kick return or a punt return?
Either one. Virginia Tech's only returned...
Yeah, they take...
Huh? Go ahead.
They took 2 to the house. A punt return. Although it only shows one actual player. But this is very confusing. As they've returned 2 for touchdowns this year, but they only mentioned Eric Kuma's 1.
They probably blocked him.
Maybe. Ah, yeah, that was probably it.
Oh, let's throw that out there. Will there be a blocked punt in this game?
Oof. Yes. Yeah. Because UC has done it once this year. And it sounds like Virginia Tech has done it also.
We're really throwing up the crazy prop bets in this one. Let's throw out another. Who scores first?
Let's see. UC, haven't they won like the coin toss like 10 of 12 games this year?
Yeah, they've been very,
something like that.
Very
crazy.
Successful with the coin toss, yes.
I can't remember what they've done with all of those wins. I feel like they defer, right? Like, in my mind, I feel like they would defer. Or do you think they take it?
Everybody defers. They would defer.
Yeah, if they defer, then I think UC scores first. Because I think they stop Virginia Tech on the opening drive, and they take it down and score on their opening drive.
I'm gonna agree. No, I'll disagree. I'll say UC kicks off, and then Virginia Tech has an opening drive touchdown, just to make us all worry a little bit about what could possibly happen. But I'll say like the Bearcats end up in like a 7-0 hole that they come out of on the very next drive.
No, I think that makes sense. I could see it go either way. Because I feel like in these, when you're talking about these bowl games, they're kind of all over the place, right? Like, because both teams aren't really familiar with it, right? It seems like there's always that wonkiness in the fourth quarter before like things start to settle down. I mean, maybe that's a part. Maybe part of that is the fact that UC's gotten their teeth knocked in the last two bowl games, but it just seems that way in these bowl games where teams kind of start to, they don't really know what to expect until like the second quarter on. And then I feel like at that point, the defense is going to start to take over, but I could definitely see how Virginia Tech scores like the first, either field goal or touchdown.
Yeah, I looked it up and Virginia Tech did block 2 points. They returned 1 for 3 yards for a touchdown and recovered 1 in the end zone.
Ah, that's why.
And Virginia Tech's opponents did take a punt back. Special teams touchdowns, watch out. Although I don't think UC's had a special teams touchdown in the game this year, have they?
They haven't had a special teams touchdown in like a decade.
Yeah, that's a fair point. What you make a bowl prediction now, Chris, before we wrap this one up.
I'm going to say, do you think Michael Warren scores a rushing touchdown first, or Des Ritter scores a rushing touchdown first?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. That makes me think a little bit. Like I would lean towards Warren, just the pure numbers. But then, like, Ritter is like a little bit of a wild card. I'm tempted to go Ritter. I'll say Ritter scores a rushing touchdown first, which is probably stupid.
I'm kind of going that way too, because if I'm looking at, like, if I'm thinking about what Virginia Tech's going to do defensively, like, is Bud Foster still their defensive coordinator, or is he gone?
No, he's still there.
Oh, he's still there. Oh, that is pretty impressive. If I'm Bud Foster, I'm looking at a high-level, 10,000-foot view of UC's offense, and they 1,000% see all of the stats that Michael Warren brings to the table, right? Like, he's rushing the ball 224 times a game. He gets the 224 times overall. He gets the ball 20 times per game. He has 17 touchdowns. He's getting a first down every other rush. I'm telling my front seven to focus 100% on him. And I think he has a bit of a struggle of it in the first half. And that's why I think it's so close. But I think that opens up, hopefully, for Desmond Ritter to take the ball on those RPOs and get a touchdown first. So I agree with you. I think it will be Ritter.
Let's open that up a little bit. Do you think anybody besides Ritter or Michael Warren scores a rushing touchdown? Keep in mind, Virginia Tech gave up 29 rushing touchdowns this season.
it has to be like Charles McClellan, right?
Yes. Do you think he or Tavon Thomas gets in the end zone?
Oh, McClellan. Absolutely. If I'm painting the story right now, it's the first quarter, not a lot's happening. You know, Virginia Tech scored a field goal. UC's kind of trying to find themselves offensively. Second quarter, Warren's still getting bottled up. They start to bring McClellan in a little more on some of those sweeps, on some of those rushes to the outside. And he eventually finds, I think he's hampers in from like 30 or something at some point in that first half. Like if you're gonna hold me to that prop bet, I think it will be McClellan. And I don't think Tavion Thomas really sees much.
You didn't just go bold. You went big explosive play touchdown. I like
sure.
Going out on the, you have to go fully out on the limb. on the flip side, the 29 rushing touchdowns against Virginia Tech. They only gave up 17 passing touchdowns. Does Desmond Ridder throw a passing touchdown?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think their secondary is very good. I think they've only had, compared to the rushing defense, the passing defense is better, but only because teams just run all over them. They only have like 6 picks this year. The secondary is really missing Tremaine and Terrell Edmonds. I think they're 110th in interceptions overall. I definitely think Ridder throws a touchdown. I would even take that prop bet up a level. I would say I would put the over under on passing touchdowns for Ridder at 2.5.
I'd go under. I don't think he's going to throw a touchdown. I think UC will run for 4 touchdowns. I think we see one from Ridder. I think Mike Warren gets in a couple of times. Then like maybe we see like one from like McClellan.
See, I almost put that at 1.5, thinking like you might go 3.
Oh, maybe he won't.
Because I was going to say 2.
Maybe he won't throw the touchdown. Maybe it'll be Khalil Lewis.
Oh,
throw the touchdown.
Bring it right back around. I like how you did there.
Yeah, trick play touchdown. No touchdown pass from Desmond Ridder. Which I hope he throws at least one, so we'll finish the season with 20 touchdowns. Just for round numbers' sake.
Oh, yeah. A nice 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio. That'd be nice.
Is there anything else you want to hit on in this game? Any more ridiculous prop bets you want to throw out there?
Oh, man. If I had prepared, I probably could have come up with one. But, no, I think I'm good. I think this is going to be a nice stamper on the end of the season. UC will win this one by a touchdown, but it'll feel pretty much in control in the second half. Yeah, I think it'll be a nice way to put a nice bow on a very good season as we head into, Fickell's year 3.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think this is going to be the type of game that ends with like everybody happy on the sideline. Fickell getting like the Gatorade bath. And we both think it will be a touchdown game, but we both kind of think it's going to be a little bit wider than that. So I think Virginia Tech might score like a little bit like late to make it look closer than it was. I think the Bearcats should clamp them down. And I think they'll hit enough big plays, like either with like the pass or the run, probably both. I think they'll hit a big play in each one, and like they'll be able to like pull away from Virginia Tech.
Yep, absolutely, and it should be a nice way to send off some of the few seniors on this team with a win, because I mean, like, God, Lord knows they've been going through hell the last 2 years, so it'll be nice to send them off the right way.
Yeah, definitely. Like, just looking at it, like, the big picture like that, like, from where UC football was, like, the last few seasons, just down in the dirt, like, it'd be great to see them finish with an 11-win season.
Yeah, because, I mean, we kind of talked about this, I think about a month ago. You know, you look at like, the history of this program. It's been around for 100 years, but a lot of those years, this program has not been very good. I mean, anytime you can win 10, 11 games, which this season would be number 7 or 8, something like that, you know, is definitely something to celebrate. Because, I mean, UC isn't in a position like, you know, in Ohio State or a Penn State or something where they can pretty much pencil in double-digit wins most seasons. You know, UC is still trying to build that equity in the college football world. And, you know, it's games like these, it's seasons like these that really start to slowly but surely build that equity. So, yeah.
And it's just been so long periods since they really, like, established themselves as, like, the type of team that could go out there and get, like, 10, 11 wins. I don't think they've had 11 wins since they went to the Orange Bowl, right?
Yeah, I think it's been, like, exactly 10. Because I think, if I remember correctly, the... let's see. Was it the Belk Bowl that Stripling coached in back in 2012? They won 9 games, and then they won their 10th in that bowl game, I think.
Yeah, you're right. That was the last time they won 10 games was 2012.
Oh!
The last time they won 11 games was 2009.
Wow. Well, that's a good set. I didn't even think about that. I was always focused on the 10. Yeah, that has been a long time.
Because they won 10 games 2011, 2012. Obviously, 2010, they were 4-8. So yeah, I'd like to see them like hit that 11-win mark. And just spring forward into like next year with a lot of like momentum and a lot of buzz. It's really, that's what these bowl games are all about anyways. Just getting some buzz next year, getting some practice time for like the guys who are going to end up playing big roles next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be... It should be a way to kind of really get some momentum going into next season. And, you know, if they start off next season on the right foot, we could be looking at a bigger and better things from this program in 2019.
And if they lose, it's like, who cares? It's a meaningless bowl game. Nobody cares about bowls.
Exactly.
We can play both ways.
I like that.
Yeah, is there anything else you want to add, Chris? Or are you ready to head into... New Year's Eve?
I'm good. I think we pretty much talked this one to death. You know, we'll going forward, we'll be talking mainly hoops, but we might have a few spatterings of football, you know, after the new year. You know, probably wrap up we'll do a Military Bowl wrap up, you know, do some postseason awards, best games, worst games, best of stuff in general, worst of stuff in general. But yeah, it's gonna be mainly hoops going forward. So yeah, enjoy your holiday, everyone, and go Bearcats.